We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. That fine gentleman over there, the one, the only, still the incomparable Dan Rubenstein, except he is still out in beautiful, sunny Southern California. So how are you?
You might be able to hear the rain. It has not been sunny. It has not been beautiful. It has been gray. It has been foggy. It has been cold. Like, you ever play with a kid in a garage, Ty?
Yeah.
Because that's what we've been doing. So there's a little bit of fresh air, and he doesn't get drenched, the three-year-old. We've got like a sand table with a bunch of trucks and tractors. We're kicking balls. We brought out basketball hoops. So we're making the best of the situation, Ty. But not sunny, not beautiful. Hopefully the next few days are a little bit nicer.
Well, hopefully wherever this finds you, it is in good spirits, in good health. It is the final day of 2021. Good riddance. Mm. We are moving on, going on to all things 2022, but this episode will find most of our listeners on New Year's Eve. So you can already understand where this show is going to go. We're going to take some New Year's resolutions here that we got from the Verballerhood. We're going to give some of our own, not just with respect to ourselves, that's boring, but with respect to our teams, be it Notre Dame,
sure,
or Penn State, or Oregon, or Oklahoma, or USC, or
Lafayette,
any of these teams. Lafayette, Lehigh, you know the drill. We've got resolutions not only for ourselves, but for our respective teams, and we've got some that we collected from the Verballerhood. We put out that call yesterday on the social feeds. So we'll get into that. We're going to start, though, by doing a bunch of bowl recaps, because where we left it a week ago was with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, and a bunch of games have gone on. There have been some cancellations, which sucks, but we'll talk about that here momentarily. We'll go through all that and much, much more. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, though. Start your 2022 off in correct fashion by subscribing to the Solid Verbal, by rating, by reviewing, both on Apple and on Spotify. You can do it in both places now. I guess you can't review on Spotify, but you can now start to rate the show. We would appreciate your 5-star rating. If you do like the show, please do subscribe, follow, whatever the nomenclature is. It'd be great to be with you in 2022. Also, I understand that not everybody is going to listen to this before the college football playoff, but a number of you will. Don't forget to check out our live hype streams, as we're calling them. I just came up with that. I hope you like it.
Were you, be honest, were you peeing while you came up with it?
No.
Like, hype stream.
No. Hype streams are going to be starting at 3 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Eastern over on our YouTube channel. Solid Verbal YouTube channel is at youtube.com/thesolidverbal. Go on out, subscribe, hit the bell, do all that stuff that you're supposed to do on YouTube. Half hour live streams are going to start up at 3 and at 7 before the kickoff of both playoff semifinals. We're also going to be doing live audio chats through the course of the games, not from start to finish, but at various points throughout each of the semifinals on verballers.com, our Patreon, in the Discord yes. server that is just teeming and overflowing and always exciting to be part of. We would encourage you to go on out there and check out verballers.com if you want to jump in and be part of that. The only other bit of housekeeping I have is solidgiveaway.com. Solidgiveaway.com. New friend of the show, Desmond Howard. We've got a signed mini helmet from him that we're going to be giving out. You've got like 4 or 5 free steps that you need to complete for us to get your name in that hat. We're going to draw the winner on the day of the national championship, January the 10th.
Everything I have.
Why don't we dive into bowl recaps, Dan?
Let's.
Bowl recaps. So we got a bunch of games here. We also had 5 games that were canceled, either because one of the teams or both of the teams were dealing with COVID issues. In the case of the Arizona Bowl, Central Michigan just decided, we're going to go to the Sun Bowl instead.
They opted in to another bowl.
Yeah, we're going to chase that Tony the Tiger money. And no offense, Barstool, but we're going to play in the Sun Bowl instead. So,
right.
Those were the Military Bowl between Boston College and ECU, the Holiday Bowl between NC State and UCLA. The Holiday Bowl tried feverishly to find somebody else that could play NC State instead of UCLA, but that was not going to happen. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl, which is a bummer because a game in Fenway Park would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see.
SMU and UVA is off. The Hawaii Bowl between Memphis and Hawaii is also off. And then the aforementioned Barstool Arizona Bowl that was previously scheduled between Boise and Central Michigan. Central Michigan going to greener pastures to play Wazoo in the Sun Bowl instead. So those are the 5 games that are off. Hopefully there won't be more after we hit the stop button of this recording, but at least at present, it seems as if the remainder of the bowl lineup will remain intact.
Yes, I saw a lot of emotion out there, sad, especially about the cancellation of the Hawaii Bowl on, I think it was Christmas Eve, right? That there was, it was a day without a lot of other sporting action. And yeah, Hawaii is very closely aligned. The state of Hawaii is very closely aligned with the holidays. And, you know, you're sitting around with your family and there's just a college football game to enjoy when nothing else is competing. And we lost it. That kind of sucked.
Absolutely. So hopefully this will not continue to be a thing throughout the remainder bowl season. At time of recording, it isn't. At time of recording, we've got the bowl game going on between North Carolina and South Carolina. The new border war, if you will, the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yep.
We will update you if we find out who is getting the Duke's Mayo bath.
We'll find out. Do we need, must we? Must we update?
We will paint that in as detailed an audio way as we can, if and when it goes down during the course of this recording.
Oh my God. I know they watered down the mayo. I wondered the viscosity, how quickly it slides and oozes out of the giant, the giant carafe or whatever it's in, the Gatorade cooler that it's in. I wonder if, but like it has, is it a slow, like, oh, this is awkward, it's coming out so slowly, or is it going to be a slushy mayo?
Man, watered down mayo sounds brutally terrible.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
A weirdly accurate description of Mac Brown at times, though.
Watered down mayo?
Yeah.
A little bit. You're not wrong. Okay. Tropical Smoothie Cafe Frisco Bowl. San Diego State 38, UTSA 24. Back and forth game for a half. San Diego State pulled away in the second half. Nearly 500 yards of offense for the Aztecs, which is not at all what we've grown accustomed to seeing throughout the course of the 2021 season. But they're led by Lucas Johnson, who threw for 333 and 3 touchdowns. He also ran for a score. UTSA had an opt-out from Sincere McCormick, your boy.
Right.
So they're a bit shorthanded. They end up losing this one 38-24.
I believe Lucas Johnson in the transfer portal after winning that game. Is he not? I don't know if you have that in front of you.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a similar case. Yeah, Lucas Johnson enters the transfer portal. Matt Araiza, the record-setting punter, entered the NFL draft, threw his name into the NFL draft mix. And I want to say Wyoming's quarterback did the same thing, which prompted Craig Bohl to announce that Wyoming is open for business for any quarterbacks interested in playing for Wyoming after they won their bowl game. Levi Williams, I believe, is the name of their
quarterback. Yeah, Levi Williams.
But you're right.
That's what I was going to talk about next, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Wyoming won 52-28 over Kent State. This game was a ton of fun. I don't know if you had a chance to catch it, but
I did.
Ton of fun, 90 points, close to 1,200 yards of total offense, no turnovers, so just all offense, no defense. Kent State, which plays at a breaknecking pace, had over 300 yards through the air and on the ground, which is crazy because they lost. When was the last time a team did that and lost? I don't have the Elias Sports Bureau on speed dial, but I got to imagine that's a pretty deadly combination. 411 yards on the ground for Wyoming and their rushing offense, which ultimately proved victorious. You mentioned Levi Williams in the transfer portal set a record, 16 rushes, 200 yards, and four touchdowns on the ground here for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl win. Dedicated the game to his grandmother, who passed away. So
hey.
That's a nice gesture for Levi. We hope he's doing okay. And we know he did okay in this game, statistically speaking, and for his team as they won 52-28 over Kent State.
Yeah, penalty is a bit of a killer at times for Kent State in this one. 12 for 95 yards is what I'm seeing here. But this was, yeah, there were playmakers in this game. I enjoyed what I saw of this.
The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Army 24, Mizzou 22. This was a nail-biter.
Indeed.
Came down to the wire. Army won it on a 41-yard field goal at the gun. Here is the way this thing shook out. Brady Cook, who was Missouri's quarterback, a redshirt freshman, tossed a short touchdown pass with just over a minute left, 111 to be exact. That makes it 22-21. They failed on the two-point conversion. They go into those final 71 ticks with a narrow one-point lead. It's at that point in time where Jeff Munkin reaches within and he says, you know what? Why don't we just bring in our third string quarterback cold off the bench?
Yep.
What is Jabari Laws doing right now? He started for us in 2019. Maybe he'd be interested in going out as a senior on a high note here. So he brings him in and Jabari Laws freaking does it. He freaking does it. He leads the Black Knights down the field for that 41-yarder at the gun to win it. Army, in doing so, wins the game 24-22. They snap a 7-game losing streak against Power 5 opponents in, as you would expect, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, because, of course,
it's the United States Army. Yeah. No, a terrific performance, getting creative in the bowl game against an SEC team. And I don't know how you feel about the narrative like, oh, the SEC is 0-1 whatever, overrated. I don't know how you feel about that, but Army winning a bowl game, winning how they have, beating some of the teams they have along the way, or hanging with the teams, almost beating the teams along the way these past 2, 3, 4 years or whatever. It's an amazing reflection on Jeff Munkin. So, yeah, Mizzou down. I mean, it's down guys. They were playing a lot of young guys, but either way, this was Army's win for sure.
Over at the Frisco Football Classic, remember, this is the game they just invented.
Correct.
Miami, Ohio, 27, North Texas, 14. Brett Gabbert, he is the younger brother of Blaine Gabbert. You remember that crazy guy.
Of course.
Brett Gabbert named the MVP for Miami, Ohio. The game, listen to this. This is the most impressive thing to me about this game. This game ended a streak of 141 consecutive Red Hawks games played on artificial turf. It dates all the way back to 2010 when Miami, wow, Ohio opened at Florida. 141 straight games. That record is snapped because of the Frisco Football Classic, which apparently was not played on artificial turf. For what it's worth, Seth Luttrell now 0-5 in bowl games in 6 seasons at North Texas.
Yeah, the Miami defense came to play via turnovers. I think they shut him out in the second half, did they not?
Yep.
Yeah. So came to play. Good for taking advantage of a situation where you get seen by a bunch of eyeballs and come out and get to, they came in 500, finished the season 7-6. Brett Gabbert had a nice day. Good job for the Redhawks.
The Union Home Mortgage, Gasparia Bowl, Dan.
I like it.
We go with the Spanish pronunciation here on the Solid Verbal. UCF winning the state championship of Florida, 29-17 over those Florida Gators. This one continued after the final bell. We had a bit of a scrum at midfield. I guess the good news is that Florida finally showed a little bit of fight, but they did lose the game. They had a bunch of penalties. They couldn't really extend drives. They were 2 of 13, something like that, on third
downs. Yeah, it was really bad. Yep.
Emery Jones also played despite throwing his name in the transfer portal. Just 4.8 yards per attempt. He was 14 of 36 for 171 yards. Meanwhile, UCF had 288 on the ground. Perhaps I was distracted by Mikey Keene, backup quarterback, and underestimated the motivation factor for UCF in this game, because clearly they were fired up. They had a guy throw a punch. Like, they were ready, rearing, and psyched to go for this one here. And they ended up winning by 12, 29-17. Next year, perhaps I'll put together the motivation task force among our Patreon mm-hmm. folks and make sure that nothing like this gets missed. But big win for UCF, man. Gus Malzahn was all fired up after this one.
Saw him on a private plane. I was not on the plane. I saw a picture of him on a private plane with his wife celebrating the bowl win over Florida. Isaiah Bowser ran well. And it's not as if UCF's offense was amazing. They just were able to take advantage and keep drives moving. They were like something 5 of 12, 5 of 13 on third down. So they were off the field as well. Florida's able to make some plays, especially on the ground. But yeah, if the offense isn't on the field, it's really hard to score points.
The Tax Act Camellia Bowl, Dan. Georgia State, Ball State. Ball State had a big play early, and that was it. That was pretty much the game.
Yeah.
The rest of the way, it was all Darren Granger, the quarterback for Georgia State. He dominated this game at 4 total touchdowns. I think we called this one beforehand that Ball State was pretty much just a bad team this year, despite
right.
a really successful 2020 campaign. And we were all in. I was all in on Ball State being a trap game early for Penn State. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
51-20 here. Georgia State wins in resounding fashion.
Yeah, my defense wins bowl games. Largely, you know, you have to deal with the context of coaches leaving, and there's other context to these bowl games now, opt-outs and COVID stuff and transfers. But just taken in a vacuum, which doesn't exist, it did really well once
did
again.
It? Did
like, it? It did. It's done very, very well. Now, there are exceptions, right? Western Kentucky beating App State, Mississippi State, and we'll get into it, losing the way they did to Texas Tech. For sure, there are exceptions, but by and large, especially if you're not betting against the spread and you're in a confidence-type pool, you could do some serious damage wagering against below-average defenses to bad defenses, especially if they're coming from the MAC early on. Yeah, you did well.
I've made a ton of money this bowl season, to your point. How do you yes. feel about opt-outs?
I mean, every case is different. In the bigger games, it's on a certain level, you get it. And you're protecting a future, and one game stands between some bigger names and NFL money. And, you know, if the game isn't a playoff game, if the game isn't a huge game, you're like, okay, well, especially if you're, say, a running back where you're getting hit every time you touch the ball. But on another level, I think Kenny Pickett has good reason to play in a New Year's Six game, especially with a lot of people watching, and to punctuate the season that he's had as a Heisman finalist and maybe the best quarterback outside of Bryce Young in the country. And it sucks seeing the Ohio State players. I mean, maybe I come at it from a biased point of view as a West Coast human, but I think the Rose Bowl is a big game. I think it's an important game for the sport, and these guys aren't being paid by the sport, so I understand why you're saying, what more do I have to prove if I'm Chris Olave or Garrett Wilson or something like that? But I guess it's just a statement on even the Rose Bowl, something I consider to be a big game that maybe other people don't, where it's just like, I'm good. I'm going to pass. I've played all year to get Ohio State into a really great bowl game and have an amazing offense, and I think that's going to be it for me. I'm going to dip out. I at the same time, I can both understand their point of view with one game separating themselves from their future and also say, hey, not an amazing thing for the sport. Kind of sucks.
It absolutely sucks, man. It's a huge bummer. If you're, we'll use Ohio State as an example. If you're losing some of those targets out wide, if you're losing some of those gravitational forces on your defense, that sucks, man. I get why they're doing it.
Well, they're in particularly good shape, given how deep they are at receiver.
Sure.
But those are also like, it's difficult to become a nationally known name in college football with the number of teams, with how many players and coaches move around. It's difficult to entrench yourself as a star name. Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson are star names. And the Rose Bowl and college football took a hit without them this season.
It's such a bummer. And, you know, just using Ohio State as an example, it sucks if you're a Buckeyes fan that you don't get to see those guys in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
I get why they're doing it.
And maybe they're hurt. Maybe they're
beat
up.
I get why they're doing it. I get it. Yeah. I totally get it. But we had a conversation, as you know, on our Bruin-A, which we publish exclusively on Patreon, about are there any things that can be done to entice players to continue playing, to not opt out of bowl games. And outside of there being like a big ball of money that hangs above midfield, i.e. Squid Game style, or any kind of hooks that NIL deals can build into the equation to keep guys out there for big games like the Rose Bowl, I don't know what you can do. And it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks that the sport has gone this way. I'm immensely bummed out about it. I want to see Kyren Williams out there. I just don't know what you can do at this point. I think we're so far down that path, and money has taken hold of college football, especially this is like an underrepresented historically workforce. The fact that they have a little bit of power back on their side now, like we're all in favor of that to some extent, but I just hope that somebody can come up with a way to keep more of these guys playing, because it is a bummer to not have them out there.
Yeah, I wonder what the playoffs role is. That, oh, we're not in the playoff. The playoff is so important. We worked so hard because we had playoff expectations as Ohio State. And now that we've fallen short of the playoff and it's only the Rose Bowl, and I don't want to single out Ohio State. Again, I understand from a certain perspective why they're doing this. Like, it's, you know, to each their own. And I don't have the full context. Neither do you, to my knowledge. So I don't mean to single out Ohio State, because I still think Kenny Pickett, if he's healthy, should be playing in that game against Michigan State. But yeah, I don't. Does expanding the playoff make the playoff that much more important, that if you don't make the 12-team playoff, we're going to see even more opt-outs out of the non-playoff games because it's that much more important and that much, if it's so easy to get in the playoff and our team didn't make the playoff, why am I hanging around? I don't know. I hope that's not the case. I hope this is a something that can be rectified somehow, but I don't know. The toothpaste kind of seems out of the tube in terms of opt-outs, and we just have to accept it and move on.
We'll bring on a player agent in the offseason and talk more about it.
The player agents are definitely the ones saying, I don't think you should be playing in this game, friend.
We'll bring those dudes on
in
the offseason, see what we can come up with together. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go over the Quick Lane Bowl. Western Michigan ran one up on Nevada. Speaking of opt-outs, Carson Strong, the noted quarterback for Nevada, did not play in this one. Nevada was also without Jay Norvell, who went to Colorado State, so they were really shorthanded. We also forgot to mention, this was an 11 a.m. kickoff. This is a body clock game for Nevada.
It's true.
So they had a triple whammy working against them. Sean Tyler for Western Michigan, 128 yards in the return game. He had 146 on the ground to complement that effort. This one was never close. Western Michigan won by 28, 52-24. And in typical fashion, they dumped a big vat of motor oil over Western Michigan's coach. Crazy.
Always. Yeah. Who would have seen that coming?
The Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. Houston 17, Auburn 13. Did you watch this game at all? Do you see anything?
A little bit. I saw Dana Holgorsen on a plane and at a hotel table with the trophy, the ridiculously amazing Birmingham Bowl trophy. I did see things like that. And he was upset at Brian Harsin for taking too long in his post-game losing presser. But yeah, I saw some. I think I've sort of seen enough of Auburn this year where I didn't really mark this game as must-watch. But yeah, it was fine. Good win for Houston.
So here's the deal, right? They catch a touchdown pass. Jake Herslow for Houston catches a 26-yarder with 3.5 left to give them the lead. Ultimately, they end up winning. This is probably a game, though, that Auburn should have won because they had so many chances to grab this one and put it on ice, and they kept stalling out or making mistakes. As such, they finished the year for the first time in 71 years with 5 straight losses. I get that they had Bo Nix get hurt, and that was a bit of a step back, and that obviously the Birmingham Bowl wasn't a high-stakes bowl situation for them. I am curious, though, to see which direction this thing goes now moving forward.
Yeah.
Because this is a bit of a whimper to close out a season for Auburn that started on a great foot. That Penn State game, and, you know, they had opportunities to knock off Alabama. Auburn was in some of these games.
No, the way they played against Ole Miss, Mississippi State, even in a losing effort, the way they beat Arkansas, there were for sure highs for this.
There were moments. There were
moments. Tiger season, yeah.
For Brian Harsin. But the fact that they closed out the way that they did, I don't know. I don't think you could put it all on the quarterback position. So I'm curious now as we go into 22, which direction this thing goes for him. I really am.
They've made a change at offensive coordinator, so there's going to be new look elements to this team for sure.
Houston wins 17-13. Big win for them, 12 wins on the season.
Huge.
The Serve Pro First Responder Bowl, Air Force and Louisville. It's not that Air Force didn't run, Dan. They still ran it 50 times.
Right.
It's that Hazeek Daniels went 9 of 10 throwing for 252 and 2 long touchdowns.
I don't throw it often, but when I do, yeah.
Louisville was playing from behind the whole game. Again, it was Malik Cunningham trying to will the team to victory in the end. He did score late. They did have a crack at an onside kick, but that did not work. Air Force gets its third straight bowl win, and they cap off a 10-win season, mostly because they threw the ball for 250 yards, which was totally unexpected and a pleasant story here in bowl season.
Oh yeah, it was great. And Louisville, they start slow. They have that shot, as you mentioned, but Air Force with just that monster second quarter dominating Louisville up front, it's hard to come back from when the team is running like they're running, and Air Force was able to make plays, and Air Force was the stronger defense in this game, so this worked out there. They got the stops that they needed for my whole defense theory. So awesome way to get to 10 wins.
Let's get in the zone and go to the Liberty Bowl, Dan.
I'm ready.
What happened here? what happened to Mississippi State?
I think when we said that we wanted to gift Texas Tech fans a defense, it happened sooner than, you know, putting that out into the universe on a show a couple episodes ago.
Did we speak it into existence?
I think we may have. I think Oprah's done an episode or two about this where you just need to speak your future into existence. And Texas Tech, especially with what they were able to do against Mississippi State on the ground. Now, obviously, they succeeded against the air raid through the air and kept a lot of what the Bulldogs were trying to do in front of them. But what they were able to do up front on the ground and take advantage of these situations and play relatively mistake-free football, it was they ran the ball well. Donovan Smith made plays. He wasn't the most accurate dude in the world, but made plays. This was kind of out of nowhere to me. This was the biggest shocker of a score. You watch the game, you're like, oh, Texas Tech playing hard, playing with fire. Maybe Mississippi State just didn't have that fire. But I figured they'd be a little more into it with, you know, Mike Leach's interest, but you can only do so much from the sideline. Mike Leach's interest in beating Texas Tech, which he claims still owes him money. But either way, awesome way to head into the Joey McGuire era. I'm a big proponent of bowls mean little to nothing, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with some of the feel goods.
Heading into
the final stretch of recruiting, heading into the transfer part of the year, heading into building a staff, like Joey McGuire didn't have anything to do with this win, but the vibes are good in Lubbock right now. In, you know, I don't know how long the shadow, the tail of this bowl win lasts, but, you know, it never hurts. So yeah, good for the Red Raiders.
Joey McGuire may have run through a wall of an AutoZone after this. He's that kind of guy. He's got a lot of enthusiasm and energy.
He got in the zone.
He probably did get in the zone, yeah.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Whoa. This was a snoozer. This was 18-6, Minnesota won. Dominated the trenches, 250 rushing yards. West Virginia could not get any kind of momentum going. And I am kicking myself because I felt really good. We both felt really good about that Minnesota -5 line.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it. You were into it.
Stronger defense. Yep.
I was going to place the bet. And then I got cold feet because, as you know, I have not bet a Minnesota game right in at least 2 years.
True.
And so, you know, you kind of second guess it, and I did, and I didn't pull the trigger, and I would have won because even though this game wasn't a total blowout, it was kind of a blowout. Minnesota wins by 12, 18-6 in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
I think West Virginia might be the answer to the question. I don't know if you listened to the Bruin A show I did with Bill Connolly, but I asked him who the most nappable, decent teams' games are. And he gave a couple of different answers. And like you could say Stanford, obviously Stanford doesn't have a big crowd, but they were not a competitive, decent team this year. West Virginia as a bowl team might be the most easily napped through competitive team in America. This Neil Brown version,
even
Jarrett Daigie era.
More so than Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa's interesting, at least a little bit more interesting. The offense is for sure nappable, but the turnovers make the games competitive, and you start turning teams over, and the other team's defense gets tired, and Tyler Goodson gets loose. I can understand that Iowa's merely somewhat nappable. West Virginia, even with their couple of interesting bigger wins this year, or competitive games, they were like, they're just good enough to be interesting, but they're just snappable to just be like, I don't know, I'm just going to drift off for a little bit. I think West Virginia is my answer about the most easily napped through competitive team in America.
The Guaranteed Nap Bowl goes to Minnesota. Okay. Valero,
I would say so.
Alamo Bowl, Oklahoma 47, your Oregon Ducks 32. Oklahoma was up 30-3 at half. Oregon did mount something of a charge in the second half, but couldn't really stop Caleb Williams or Kennedy Brooks or really get the upper hand. What was your read on this game? It looked, I didn't watch a lot of it. The little that I saw in the first half was a tire fire.
Yeah, two thin teams, both from a coaching perspective and a player perspective on both sides of the ball, especially, I don't even say especially, both these teams were down key dudes. You know, Jaden Hazelwood transfers to Arkansas, Kayvon Thibodeau opts out. I think Oregon's defense was probably especially hard hit, and they were just crazy thin. I actually thought they played relatively hard, all things considered. They had a disastrous second quarter. Anthony Brown threw a bad pick early on in this one that changed the complexion early on with the score. But I actually came away pretty impressed with the fight and the sort of almost throwback Joe Moorhead, F it, let's go deep, part of the Oregon offense, because Oregon's had talented receivers all season long. They're actually especially deep at receiver, but with Mario Cristobal at the helm, they were especially run heavy. Like, they just wanted to squeeze the life out of teams and sort of be a winning python. And now Anthony Brown, even with the sort of down moments he had in the first half, especially that second quarter, I don't know, they came out like, screw it, Oklahoma's defense isn't that great. Why can't we score a bunch of points? And whether it was Dante Thornton, Troy Franklin, Chris Hudson, like, this is a really interesting, strong receiving core moving forward into the Dan Lanning era, especially if they can get something out of, I don't know, Bo Nix or Ty Thompson, whoever ends up starting at quarterback for Oregon moving forward. But good to see some fight, good to see some yards and some action in an otherwise dreary back and forth of the first half with it just going one way with Oklahoma. And good for Caleb Williams for making plays after he kind of slowed down in the back half of the season after a kind of electrifying start. Good for this Oklahoma offense with all the changes they've been going through. Bunch of speed, bunch of playmakers. Easy to look at this game and say, my man, Travis Dye averaged 8.5 yards a carry and they lost? And then you look at what Kennedy Brooks and Eric Gray were able to do, like, oh, 10.5 yards each. Okay, gotcha. So awesome way to close out the year for Oklahoma, some ups and downs, and at least nice to see some fight from the Oregon offense given the status. I think I saw something like 35 scholarship players that started the season for Oregon were not involved in this game. So, you know, it's a tough draw, but that's college football these days, and tip of the cap to Oklahoma.
At one point in time, I was wondering, can they just rehire Bob Stoops? Is it too too late to just bring old Bob back?
Got his kids going a touchdown? Yeah.
He looked like he never left. Okay.
Yeah.
Big win for Oklahoma. Nice win for them by 15 over the Oregon Ducks. Let's go to the Cheez-It Bowl, man. What a glorious bowl game. Above all else, it was sort of a microcosm for both these teams, wasn't it?
It absolutely was. Wasn't it the 20 is plenty? What was that my line for Clemson?
20 is plenty.
More than 20 against Clemson. Comes back.
20-13 was the final score here. So a couple weird moments in this game that I need to call out. A couple weird plays. The first was one of those deals, I think in the early part of the second half, where DJU is about to get sacked. He's running for his life. He wants to throw it out of bounds, but he doesn't quite have enough oomph. And so inadvertently, it goes into quadruple coverage.
That can happens to the best of us.
And somehow his guy comes down with it. That was the first of like just kind of weird moments. Then Brock Purdy happened. Brock Purdy was on full display here in this bowl game. I have never seen anything quite like this. Wild moment later in the second half, Brock Purdy has a pass tipped back to him at the line. So you've seen this before where lineman puts his hands up, it bounces back to the quarterback to either catch it and run with it. I think they're told to try and bat it down if they can.
Brock Purdy, you can only throw one forward pass per play.
Right.
So you can only attempt one forward pass per play. Yeah.
So Brock Purdy tries the volleyball thing where he tries to bat it down, except he bats it right to Mario Goodrich for Clemson, who catches it and runs 18 yards for a pick six to make it 20-6 in the second half. I've never seen that before.
Was it ruled a pick six or a fumble?
I think a pick six.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Either way, touchdown Mario Goodrich, the senior. Good way for him to go out. And then later on in the game, Brock Purdy regroups, threw a touchdown pass to Chaz Kohler, made it 20-13. Iowa State has a shot back to get back in this thing. It's fourth and two. He runs for a first down, scrambles for a first down. Nice play. Gets past the chains and has the ball knocked out of his hand and backwards.
Oh, yeah.
He jumps on and he recovers it. But because the ball had left his possession, because he reestablished possession short of the chains, it's a turnover on downs. Clemson gets the ball. They end up winning. And in the end, it's Dabo who gets the big barrel of cheese that's dumped over his head, which, by the way, should not be undersold because that was freaking awesome.
Yep.
Clemson wins. Weird game. 20-13. I did see somebody on Twitter trying to make the case that the Cheez-It Bowl should be a New Year's Six game. I'd be fine with that, Dan.
First of all, I learned so much during this game, and there was so much that I had already learned. It was just, you know, a weird game. And that last play kind of sums up a lot of the Iowa State experience. Maybe this year, maybe it's unfair to say the whole Brock Purdy experience because there were some absolute highs, but uniquely losing after looking like something good was going to happen kind of is a microcosm for the broader Iowa State story. There is that. Have you ever seen that mixtape of the like electrical wiring YouTuber? And there is like a compilation of him just confidently getting shocked.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's just like, and all you have to do is when you remove the circuits, and he's like, ah! There is, if you wanted to come up with a like a compilation video to describe some of where Iowa State has been recently, it would be intersplicing Iowa State moments with the like, and be careful, you don't plug it. There is that. There is that part of the Cyclone football experience that feels very real.
Absolutely. All right.
Yeah.
And what else do we got here? I think we have one more game. The New Era Pinstripe Bowl between Maryland and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I got this one wrong. I called Maryland an elite loser, maybe one too many times for the universe's liking.
54-10 is your final. Maryland wins this one. It was a runaway train. Tech got it to 21-10 shortly before half, but Maryland ripped off 33 unanswered to close it. Tech did not give a flying you know what about this game. They might have been the 1-2-3 Cancun team of bowl season, Dan. They were totally checked out here.
Yeah, Virginia Tech started because Braxton Burmeister entered the portal. Connor Blumrick, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
An all-time computer-generated recruiting name that I don't fully believe is a real person until I see with my own eyes. I apologies to the Blumrick family, but that was the energy I got from watching Virginia Tech's offense for the limited time that I did.
And that does it. At time of recording, we've got the Duke's Mayo Bowl in progress. It looks like Shane Beamer is going to get the big vat of Duke's Mayo dumped on him. They're up 35-21. Late into the fourth quarter.
I like these live updates for a recorded show.
Yeah, it's the least we
I
can
like
do.
That people are waiting for our recap of the game to fully understand what happened in it. Yeah, I mean, it's all things considered, we just got to make the best of a very strange bowl season. And having mayonnaise dumped on a coach or fries or Cheez-Its, I learned that extra toasty Cheez-Its are one of the varieties available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think that's good. I like most items on the well-done side. Not steak, not meat necessarily, but and not to a Jim Nance level. Let's be clear.
The toast,
but
yeah.
French fries and toast, and I like my eggs over easy, but cookies. I like a good crispy cookie. So that we have extra toasty cheese that's available, I'm with. So yeah, I guess good for Shane Beamer if that comes to pass. Are you a believer in New Year's resolutions? And do you have any resolutions in addition to any of the resolutions our listeners have given for their teams?
I believe in New Year's resolutions, yeah.
Same, so do I.
I think it's a good way to start off the year. I think it's good to have some goals going into the new year, yeah?
Oh, of course.
But my problem is that most of my New Year's resolutions are pretty boring. You know,
that's okay.
We put out a call here on Twitter asking folks, what are your New Year's resolutions? And some folks want to run a marathon or 1,000 miles. Devote more energy to the diet or physical fitness, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's common. I'm with you. I don't want to run 1,000 miles. I hate running. But as for getting back in shape and doing more physical activity, it's not lost on anybody that I sit in front of a microphone most of my
Have you
days.
Come up with anything? Any option? Are you going to like get involved with like a rower? Are you going to do more strength training? Are you going to play in like a kickball league? What are you going to do?
I haven't decided yet. It's still an open question, but I am actively looking for solutions on that front.
You can get on that. Well, look, you could get one of those. Were they ever a sponsor for us, Peloton? Not a sponsor of this show, for sure.
They may have sponsored this show, and I have looked into it.
Yeah. there are leaderboards, right? There is like a competitive element, and you could compete against your friends. I know there's a college football media group that rides together in classes. If you want to take down Cole Kublik or Jeff Schwartz or anybody, Mike Golic Jr., whatever, you can, Ty.
I might have to do it just for that.
Yeah.
I was not aware of this group.
Yeah, yeah. There's a group of guys. I'll introduce you. I don't do it, but you could definitely find yourself on a leaderboard.
A problem with competition. I'll leave it all out in the field.
You have shoulder issues, so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know.
I was not aware of this.
You've got a connectivity, a digital subscription component. I don't know, Ty.
I might have to do it solely for content.
Yeah, why not?
That is the life now. Anyway, yeah, I think that's one of the big ones for me. Just on the personal level, I also want to jump back in on the cooking front. And not to the extent... Not to the extent of you knuckleheads who are really into it and obsessing over each and every spice. I admire that quality. I very much do. I just don't think I can keep pace with that because I'm a little too impatient.
You need mastery. I think that's the, like, you're a dork about researching and experimenting. It doesn't have to be pizza. It doesn't have to be barbecue. It could be, you could just be like, I'm going to become the soup king of Eastern PA.
Right.
And I just want to master a bunch, or the salad dressing king, or the macadamia nut cookie king. I don't know what it is.
See,
but I really think you need mastery in your life.
I've mastered the omelet.
Right.
And now I've mastered it to the point where I've gotten bored of it and I've actually stopped eating them. And so I need to try and find what's next.
You had homemade pizza a few weeks ago and you said, I can see why people get into this.
I can't, but pizza's your thing.
Doesn't matter.
Pizza's your thing.
We can pivot as a duo.
I'm open to making my own pizza, but I feel like I need to find something. I need to carve out my corner of the universe.
What about pasta? Handmade pasta.
Too many carbs.
Okay. I don't know. If you do the Peloton, it's not. If you combine.
If we combine, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about you?
I just want to be better about scheduling and procrastinating and just making sure like I do things a certain number of days a week and I check things off, making lists. I want to be more organized in the way I spend my time, whether it's working out, whether it's cooking, whether it's stuff with the kiddos. I just want to lock in a little bit better. And I want to explore more, I guess, I don't know, micro accomplishments, curiosities. Like I just like, you know what? I think language is interesting. I always like learning language and words and everything, grammar and tenses, whatever. And so I just downloaded an app and I was like, I'm going to take 5 minutes a day and learn more French. And it's awesome. It's just something that's uniquely my activity. It has nothing to do with my job or my family or my house, whatever. It's just something new. And so I try to do crossword puzzles sometimes. I try to do that. I've been playing a lot of tennis and that's been awesome. More strength training involved, I would say, in my workouts would be nice. I want to eat a lot less sugar. But otherwise, nothing too new. I just want to stick to stuff more often. I should be reading 30 pages a night or something like that. I saw Nicole Auerbach read 52 books in 2021.
Whoa, there's no way. I'd believe her. I'm just saying there's no way I could ever do that.
No, she logged and locked it all in. It's true. But to me, that's what I want to do. I want to be more locked in with scheduling and experimenting with things I'm curious about, be it cooking, reading, activities, whatever. I want to try new stuff as often as I can.
All right. So what we did is we put a call out to the Verballerhood, and I read off some of the personal goals, but here are some of the team resolutions, right? Make a New Year's resolution on behalf of your favorite team. Jordan, who was the gentleman who wrote Run 1,000 Miles, says that he has the same hope for BYU, actually. he wants them to run 1,000 miles. So that's cool. Will says that for Clemson, the resolution should be to adapt their recruiting strategy and to embrace the current environment. Use the portal, use NIL, use things like that better.
Well, they did. I mean, DJU was in a Dr. Pepper commercial. So there was, you know, it's not like Dabo was like, this is ruining everything. I'm not letting my players do it. They did have some of that.
But the transfer portal is interesting on the Clemson front, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think just the big thing is just make Dabo less stubborn. That's the resolution. It's just like adapt, look outside the program when need be. I mean, both the coordinators were internal hires. And, you know, Clemson has been at its best when Dabo has had the stones to shake things up. So I don't think that's an unrealistic one, but it might be more of a long term than a 2021 one.
It does seem like he's having trouble with the transfer portal, though, because we had, now we know he's taken a pretty contentious stance against it in recent right. years. And there was some commentary from him on signing day about how there are adults that are manipulative and maybe not having transfers best interests at heart when it comes to all things transfer portal. So it seems like it's been an ongoing process for him to not mm-hmm. only process the transfer portal, but come to grips with it and understand it and want to use it on behalf of Clemson. Eventually mm-hmm. he's going to get there. He's going to have to get there if he wants to compete and if he wants to evolve with some of the other teams around college football. But and we'll probably see that sooner than later. It does seem, though, like he's having Agreed. A really hard time with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, are you going to participate in judo or not? And Clemson's in a unique position where they can use the transfer portal to their advantage. Instead of scrambling to fill holes, they can attract huge names to an amazing program, much in the way that Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, schools like that have been able to do. The judo reference is because I believe, as a non-expert, judo is heavily involved in using people's actions against them, right? Going with the flow of the combat and to use your opponent's actions against them. And I think that's a good resolution. I think that's worthwhile for sure.
For Josh, he says, for Penn State, I'd like to have a running back eclipse 100 yards rushing at least once.
Mm-hmm.
At least once. And secondarily, watch tape of good offensive lines. So Josh zeroing in on some of Penn State's struggles up front this year with the rushing game. I know I'm not sure how much of the rushing issue at Penn State was due to the offensive line or if it was schematic, but right. I think we can agree broadly, Josh, that having a resolution that Penn State get better, get more balanced along that offensive line and with the rushing attack, that would be nice. It would take some of the heat off of Sean Clifford, who's coming back for year 17 in 2022, and definitely make the offense tougher to defense.
Yeah, I looked at Penn State and I said, okay, look, the running backs are obviously talented. They're guys that are decent along the offensive line, and they protected Sean Clifford relatively well. They just didn't open up a ton of lanes. I think it's probably a holistic type thing, that it's a little bit of everything. And if Penn State were passing it as much as they were and finished as like a top 30 offense in the country, I don't think anybody would really care about balance, because they're probably winning more games with a top 30 offense. They're probably beating Michigan and Illinois, and we're not having Michigan State at the end of the year. We're not having this conversation. So I get the running thing and the frustrating thing, and it's probably better in short yardage situations to have that at least option to go to. But yeah, Penn State just kind of seemed off this year, and which is, I know it's, it kind of sucks because that defense was really strong at times. And I don't know if it's any specific one person's fault, but I think it should be back to the drawing board for Penn State.
I agree. Okay. John, whose team is Auburn, he says Auburn needs to be developing just average quarterback play for next season.
Yeah. It's been a minute since an Auburn quarterback has really captured our attention for a full seat. Like, I guess the best of Jarrett Stidham.
Right, right.
Probably. And even then, there were games that were really confounding, I guess, to be nice, during that era of Auburn's offense and the shuffling of the offensive coordinators every year. And is Gus calling the plays? Is he game planning? Was he not calling plays? Why did they slow down in the second half? Why are they becoming so predictable? And so, yeah, it's a new era, a new coach, a new offensive coordinator. You know, receiver has not been as exciting as it has been this past, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years at times with the current roster being where it is. But still, there's talent at running back. I don't know. I'm okay with this as a request for Auburn football, and I'm okay with thinking, I think it can get better. I absolutely think it can get better with a full off season of Brian Harsin Ball. Even if he doesn't seem like he fully wants to be there at times, I think this is a totally fair request.
Yeah, it has been a minute. You got to go back to like Nick Marshall outside of Jarrett
Stidham. Yeah, I mean, again, the best of Jarrett Stidham was really fun.
Yeah. All right. Rev writes in to say that his team's 2022 New Year's resolution, his team, by the way, is Northwestern. Uh-oh. Just become fun Man. To watch again. And do that either by fixing the defense or doing anything fun on offense. Northwestern was a rough watch this year, Dan. Rougher than usual.
I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Northwestern or Stanford or Vanderbilt, but I don't want all of these sort of academic reputation first type schools. I know there are other schools that have good academics that win football games, you know, Notre Dame, USC somewhat, the Cal, UCLA, whatever. But man, I want one of these teams to be just like sneaky interesting with talent that's not on par with some of their opponents. And Northwestern was that team that they were, you know, Rashawn Slater's a great offensive lineman. They get players drafted. They field these like top five national defenses, top 10 national defenses. But when they're off, it's fully unwatchable. Any of these teams, fully unwatchable. And so I think he's right for Northwestern. I don't know if Northwestern is more fun with a below average offense and a killer defense, or when you go back 20 years and they're one of the pioneers with like the spread option zone read stuff with Randy Walker. I don't know if that's a more fun version of one of these schools winning with lesser talent, but I can't take another 2-10 year from all of these places at the same time.
I know.
I hate it.
It's tough. By the way, Rev's personal resolution, write something purely for me, like journaling, or for fun at least four times a week.
Smart.
Which is nice.
I like that.
And by the way, John, whose team is Auburn, who I mentioned, I forgot to call out his New Year's resolution, which I thought was good. Do a better job of separating work and personal time. Focus entirely on work when I'm working and don't let work distract me or prevent me from family time. Important.
I think there's an Apple TV Plus show about this. Is there not? I'm almost positive with Adam Scott, not a sponsor, could be. And it's a show similar to like the Eternal Sunshine way of storytelling, where you have some sort of surgery or operation in which your work life is completely erased when you're home and your home life is completely erased when you're at work. Because I think they're working on highly sensitive stuff or something. But that's a show. If I've summarized it incorrectly,
are you suggesting
I
that
apologize.
Adam Scott personally sponsor the show? This
yeah,
show?
Of course. He's terrific in everything he does. I'd be fully on board with that.
All right. Tom's resolution for Michigan is just that they beat Ohio State again. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I would say if I were to come up with a resolution for Michigan, I would want what would I want? I would want a quarterback beyond a game manager, which is where I feel like they've been for some time right now, where they just like they have one of the best six quarterbacks in the country. That's what I want. That's where I would be selfish as a Michigan fan. It's like, it's our turn. It's our turn to get that guy.
Yeah.
That's what I would want. I don't think that's asking too much.
No. If I were to make a resolution for my team, for Notre Dame, it wouldn't be all that different. Honestly, it would be start Tyler Buchner.
Unless, okay. You're just ready. You're all in. Chips
all
to the
in.
Center.
I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in. Start Tyler Buchner. Unless you've got a huge transfer quarterback in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Tyler Buchner. And let's see what he's got, what he can provide. And if he's not the guy, move on. Work the transfer, see if you can get somebody else. But I'm just dying to know what they've got with Tyler Buchner. That would be my resolution for Notre Dame, plain and simple.
And we have the double tie offense with Notre Dame and Oregon at the same time. If Ty Thompson beats out Bo Nix and is just electric, that's, you know, the year of Ty. Who knows what's happening in your life?
What do you want for Oregon?
offense, a passing game. It was a rough year this year. I think they're going to recruit well. I think the program's going to be in good shape. I think they're going to win a bunch of games. I know they open with Georgia, which will be a challenge. I want a top 20 offense that's fun to watch. I talked about this when Mario Cristobal moved on to Miami. I don't need, as a fan, Oregon to go to the playoff or to win the Pac-12, but I want there to be creativity and fun and electricity on offense, because that's what's familiar to me as an Oregon fan. Don't win every game. You don't win all the huge games, but an entertaining brand of football, 10 out of 12, 11 out of 12 weeks, I think would go a long way for me.
On the Penn State side, I also want to see Drew Allaire.
Yeah.
All things, everything. Top flight quarterback. I want to see what somebody else outside of Sean Clifford could do. Now, look, Sean Clifford, before he got hurt, was having a better season. I've been hard on Sean Clifford, but he was having a better season. We talked on our show time and again. It's a new Cliff. New Cliff this year. He looks different. He looks more comfortable. He got hurt in that Iowa game. He wasn't the same afterwards. I want to see if they can get more from one of these new quarterbacks, if it's not going to be Clifford.
Right.
I have never been a huge Clifford fan. He did look better. I would really like to see if somebody else can give them more, because he still has a couple plays in him each game where you leave scratching your head. So I'd like to see them move on and go in a different direction, but he's coming back for year 82 and a half. So they're probably stuck with him as starting quarterback for at least some period of time to start out next season. Maybe that'll change, but we'll see.
I'm with you. You are like the quintessential college football fan, where you're just like, I don't know, play the young guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look at these 4-star, 5-star.
I would be a horrible coach.
Yeah. You're on the, who sang next? Who sang Thank You next? Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande, yeah.
So you're in the Grande line of thinking here.
Thank You next. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I agree. We agree. It's fun. That's what college football is. College football is the quintessential message board sport. And the quintessential message board post is, let's see what we have with the young guy. So, Ty, you are speaking to the people.
On that note, Dan, with 37 seconds left in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, now 9 seconds left, South Carolina is going to win 38-21.
Unbelievable.
Huge win for Shane Beamer. Huge game for Kevin Harris, who rushed for 182 and a touchdown on the ground. This has been a charm season for the Gamecocks as they win by 17. Shane Beamer about to get that Duke's Mayo dumped all over him. Good win for them in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Don't forget to tune in if you are listening to us on New Year's Eve to our playoff hype streams, 3 p.m., 7 p.m. over on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to go on over to verballers.com if you want to take part in some of our voice chats during the playoff activity. And don't forget, of course, to subscribe to the show. You can do so at solidverbal.com. Subscribe, rate, review on Apple, on Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, Dan. That's all I got.
That's all I have, friend.
The next time we speak to you, it will be a new calendar year. We hope that you have a happy, a healthy, a safe new year. We will talk to you all in 2022. In the meantime, as always, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know, with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.